I am told we have a quorum, so I'm going to call the meeting to order and ask the faculty to rise as you are able for the reading of the memorial resolutions. Let me ask Professor Emeritus George Shook to present the memorial resolution for Professor Emeritus Alan Bringy.
Alan Bringy, Professor Emeritus of Dairy Science, passed away on November 13, 2018, at age 83. He retired in 1994 after serving in Cooperative Extension for 35 years. From 1959 to 1966, Alan conducted an effective statewide dairy youth development program through 4-H, FFA, and the dairy breed organizations. From 1968 until retirement, Alan developed innovative and highly effective statewide educational programs around the issues of milk quality, mammary health, and milking procedures. Alan's impact extended nationwide and worldwide. Programs he pioneered in Wisconsin were adopted in many other states. Alan was a strong team player, an individual of great integrity, dedication, selflessness, and commitment.
Thank you, and I'm very pleased that Professor Bringy's wife is here, Joyce, his son Neil, and Neil's wife, Ann Schmidt. Thank you for coming. Let me recognize Professor Carl Shoemaker to present the memorial resolution for Professor Emeritus Kamal Karpat.
Professor Emeritus Kamal Karpat passed away in Madison, Wisconsin on February 20th, 2019 at the age of 96. He received a state funeral from Turkey and was laid to rest in the Fatih Mosque graveyard, the burial site of sultans and select Ottoman and Turkish dignitaries. Professor Karpat joined the UW history faculty in 1967 and retired in 2004. For his immense contributions to Turkish and Ottoman history, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Honor from the Republic of Turkey and the Medal of Freedom from his native Romania. He was a dear colleague and will be greatly missed.
And I was told that his niece might be here. You are here. You are Denise Belgamas. Thank you very much for coming. Denise is in the history department. And let me recognize Professor Doug Corson to present the memorial resolution for Professor Emeritus William Stewart Sykes. Is he here? Do we have someone else to present this?
William Stewart Sykes, Emeritus Associate Professor of Anesthesiology, passed away on February 18th, 2019 in Madison. Bill was a master clinician who graduated from Oxford University's Lincoln College and the Westminster Medical School in London. He subsequently achieved the prestigious Fellow of the Faculty of Anesthetists of the Royal College of Surgeons. Professor Sykes joined the UW-SMPH in 1964, where for over 30 years he was a legendary clinician, teacher, and mentor. Bill helped lead the growth of the department and enhance the legacy of the world's first academic department of anesthesiology. During his tenure, he trained several hundred physicians who continued in his footsteps.
And Professor Sykes' wife is here, Elizabeth, and three of his sons, Mark, David, and Matt. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, and you can all be seated. Those who came for memorial resolutions are always welcome to stay, but I don't know that I'd advise it. So. This is one of my favorite Faculty Senate meetings of the year because we honor our Hilldale Award recipients selected by the Divisional Executive Committees in recognition of their distinguished careers in teaching, research, and service while faculty members. It's the trifecta, people who've been done good at absolutely everything. So let me start by inviting Professor Kate Carby, Chair of the Department of Dance, to present the Hildale Award in Arts and Humanities to Professor Xinwen Yu, who is, I believe, not here today. Kate, yeah.
Professor Xinwen Yu has performed, choreographed, or been involved in more than 100 works across the Americas and Asia. And the Boston Globe has described you as, quote, a gorgeous performer, sensuous, yet controlled, and capable of great dynamic detail. Throughout his career, Yu has blended Chinese and modern choreography while integrating technology into his work. His creative work has been recognized by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Chinese Culture and Information Center in New York City, the Wisconsin Arts Board, and the National Culture and Arts Foundation of Taiwan, among many others. Before coming to the U.S. for graduate school, Professor Yu was a soloist with the internationally renowned Cloud Gate Dance Theater. He joined the UW-Madison faculty as an assistant professor in 1997 and has since served as chair of dance three times. As chair in 2010, Professor Yu oversaw the development of UW-Madison's dance program, the first in the world, into an independent department of dance and expanded the department's faculty from 5 to 9. He has orchestrated several dance festivals in Madison focused on connecting American and Chinese performers and has coordinated dance programs reaching 10,000 children and members of the public across the state. Yu has developed multiple new courses for the dance department and has organized study abroad programs spanning 10 countries. He also developed the department's first touring performance. Professor Yu currently serves as the president of the World Dance Alliance Americas. Professor Yu's instructional and artistic contributions to the UW-Madison Dance Department maintain the highest standard. His leadership and vision have strengthened the department internally and enhanced his reputation nationally and internationally. I saw him earlier last month. He was just swinging through town on sabbatical. He looked very tan and very relaxed, but he would like to be here, but is very grateful for this recognition.
And you will give this to Professor Yu.
Yes, I will. Yeah.
Let me now ask Professor Ted Golis, Chair of the Department of Comparative Biosciences, to present Professor Linda Schuler, recipient of the Hildale Award in Biological Sciences.
Thank you, Chancellor. Senators, colleagues, and friends, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Professor Linda Schuler, the recipient of the Hildale Award in Biological Sciences. Linda grew up in part in Madison and received her undergraduate training right here at UW, probably spent some time in this lecture hall. She completed her veterinary training and her PhD at the University of Pennsylvania, and then returned to Wisconsin as a postdoc with Jack Gorski in the biochemistry department, turning her attention to the prolactin gene and estrogenic regulation. When the UW School of Veterinary Medicine was founded, Linda became an original cast member as faculty, and she has taught reproductive physiology to every veterinary student since then. Her research has been funded by federal grants from the USDA, National Science Foundation, and the National Institutes of Health, and can be divided into two separate but complementary areas of impact, both revolving around a central focus on the prolactin gene family and their signaling. She led the important genetic and molecular characterization of the lactogenic placental hormones in cattle, a biological model of economic and veterinary importance to the state of Wisconsin. A second and current focus area has been mammary oncogenesis, and her lab has made seminal contributions in multiple areas related to prolactin and breast cancer, identifying prolactin as a hormone that could not only synergize with the better known estrogen to introduce mammary tumorigenesis, but could also induce tumor formation on its own in otherwise healthy animals. Her most notable recent studies include identifying the extracellular tissue environment that can critically influence interaction between prolactin and estrogen, effects of prolactin on cancer stem cells, and prolactin's role in cancer immunotherapy. We have many outstanding scholars at UW. However, in addition to her research accomplishments, Linda has been a mentor par excellence. She's mentored her own graduate students, has served on numerous faculty mentor committees, and has served on over 150 graduate thesis committees. With Linda, it's both quantity and quality, however, as recognized with the Doris Lessinger Award for Mentorship in 2015. So I'd like to close with a short personal note. With a leadership change in our department just about 5 years ago, Linda, on short notice, served as the interim chair in comparative biosciences, and we all breathed a sigh of relief at her steady hand. And I agreed to then be chair, but only as long as Linda agreed to serve as an associate chair for faculty development. And she's been a sounding board and sage colleague over the last 5 years. The university has indeed been fortunate to have her scholarship, her dedication, and her loyalty over her wonderful career. And on behalf of the School of Veterinary Medicine and the Faculty of Comparative Biosciences, I'm proud to introduce Linda as the recipient of the 2019 Hilldale Award in Biological Sciences.
Thank you so much. I am so humbled by this honor. It's certainly a truism that our life journeys are redirected by the opportunities that are presented to us. When I first came to the then new UW School of Veterinary Medicine, I found a very welcoming and open campus with a rich collaborative network of biology and related disciplines. The collegial environments, not only in the vet school, but in women's health, dairy science, McArdle Labs, and the Carbone Cancer Center, and the vibrant interdepartmental graduate training programs not only inspired the direction of my research program, but also offered many chances to engage in the web of reciprocally educational experiences that so characterize the UW academic community. One of the profound delights of my career here has been working with the outstanding junior faculty and terrific graduate students who are drawn to our university. You give them freedom, support, and some occasional pointers, and they blossom into intellectual colleagues and dear friends. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the late Jack Gorski, my former advisor, role model, and friend, for encouraging me to join the faculty here. I'd like to thank Ted Golis for nominating me for this award. And I'd like to thank my many, many other colleagues, especially Jyoti Waters and Joni Jorgensen, for providing the intellectual excitement, the frank debates, and the nurturing friendships that have enriched my 30 years here. How lucky we are to spend our careers immersed in what we love, interacting with creative and committed folks of all ages and interests. I'm truly grateful to have had the opportunity to contribute to our shared vision of UW-Madison. Thank you.
Sebastian Hines, Chair of the Department of Astronomy, will present Professor Ellen Zweibel, recipient of the Hilldale Award in the Physical Sciences. Sebastian.
Thank you, Chancellor. As Chair of the Department of Astronomy, it is my great pleasure and distinct honor to introduce the 2019 Hilldale Award winner in the Physical Sciences, Professor Ellen Zweibel. Ellen is the William H. Krauser Professor of Astronomy and holds a dual appointment in astronomy and physics. She is a Vilas Distinguished Achievement Professor and a Fellow of the American Physical Society. Ellen receives this Hilldale Award for her internationally recognized contributions to theoretical plasma physics. A plasma is a gas in which some of the particles are electrically charged. While plasmas are a rare experience to Earthlings, most of the universe is in fact filled by plasmas. Plasma physics governs the interiors of stars, the growth of black holes, and the physics of interstellar matter. Understanding the cosmos truly requires understanding how plasmas work. Plasma physics theory is notoriously difficult. Professor Zweibel stands out for her seminal contributions in this field, combining creativity, deep physical insight, and exceptional mathematical talent. One colleague, himself a world-renowned plasma astrophysicist, describes working with her as follows. I felt I was in the presence of a remarkable intellect that has enabled us to accomplish something that I, at least, would never have been able to do on my own. Ellen has pioneered the use of established plasma physics theory in astrophysics, and she has developed new plasma theory from first principles. Her work has inspired the development of laboratory plasma experiments and driven theoretical research in other areas of physics as well. I will name a few examples of the impact of her work. Ellen has been a world leader in studying the generation evolution of cosmic magnetic fields through so-called dynamo theory. This work is of fundamental importance to our understanding of magnetic field transport in stars and has far-reaching consequences for the understanding of solar flares and of space weather. She predicted the existence of low-field neutron stars that have now been observed in a set of young Neupersova remnants. She has made fundamental contributions to our understanding of magnetic turbulence and the physics of partially ionized gases. This is key to understanding how stars form and how matter is accreted by black holes. Recently, she has taken on the important question of how relativistic cosmic rays affect the growth of galaxies. Her theories of cosmic ray-driven winds are now becoming the de facto models of galactic evolution. Ellen's intellectual leadership in the field is mirrored by her leadership at the administrative level. For 5 years, she served as the director of the Madison-based NSF Frontier Center for Magnetic Self-Organization, which affirmed Madison's place as one of the premier institutions for plasma physics in the world. And she is the chair-elect of the Division of Plasma Physics of the American Physical Society. Perhaps the clearest indication of her stature in the field was the recognition she received when she won the 2016 James Clerk Maxwell Prize, the highest honor in the field of plasma physics. Among the many other firsts she has accomplished in her career, she was the first woman ever to receive this prize. Ellen's intellectual brilliance translates into outstanding classroom experiences for the students fortunate enough to take classes with her. She delivers the most complex derivations with clarity and insight, never stumbling, and all of it without notes. I was lucky enough to be one of her graduate students at the University of Colorado before she joined the faculty here, where she was a professor, and I can attest that those are the two best classes I've ever taken. I'm also lucky that she preceded me directly as chair, and I draw on her whenever I face a difficult decision that requires integrity, wisdom, and a kind heart. On behalf of the Departments of Astronomy and Physics, congratulations on this well-deserved honor, Ellen. We are lucky to have you as a colleague.
Thank you, everyone. As my direct predecessor said, I'm truly humbled by this honor. When I told my colleagues at the University of Colorado in 2002 that I had an offer from UW, everyone in every department said exactly the same thing. They said, oh, Madison, it's such a supportive place. And it's been absolutely true. So the first indication of that support is that I was able to come here through the dual career program as a trailing spouse. This is a wonderful, far-sighted program, and I hope that the UW continues to lead. So in addition to all the support that I've received here, I've really benefited from the strong faculty governance and from the stimulating colleagues that I found, not just in my own field, but across the campus, and the excellent students, both the undergraduates and the graduate students. This has been a wonderful place to work. The only casualty of my move was that when I came here, I was writing a book on plasma astrophysics, and after a short time here, I realized that my vision of the field was changing completely, that I had a lot to learn, and the book is not yet complete. It's awaiting my retirement, whenever that may be. So thank you all so much, and thank you, Sebastian.
Professor Craig Berridge, Chair of the Department of Psychology, will present for Patricia Devine, Professor Patricia Devine, the recipient of the Hilldale Award in the Social Sciences. And Patricia Devine is also not here. I think this is the first time that we've missed two of our four Hilldale Award winners, but the dates just didn't work. Craig.
Well, I suspect that our successful colleagues have lots of commitments, and so it's hard to free up their schedule. On behalf of the Department of Psychology, it's an honor to introduce Professor Patricia Devine. She has made significant contributions in the areas of research, teaching, and service. In terms of research, she has redefined our understanding of what prejudice is by uncovering the existence of subconscious or implicit bias, something that can exist even as people are consciously trying to reduce their bias. Using this information, Professor Devine went on to develop intervention techniques that help reduce implicit bias. Not only has her work changed how social psychology is taught, but she has helped reduce bias in a wide variety of entities around the country. This includes multiple universities, multiple companies, Congress, the United States Marine Corps, and multiple school districts within the state and outside of the state. Of course, this type of outreach embraces what the Wisconsin IDEA. Professor Devine is also an outstanding teacher. Not only does she host dozens of undergraduates in her lab every year, but she has won numerous campus and national teaching awards. And then lastly, she's made significant contributions in the realm of service, which include serving as chair in our department, during which time she revamped our undergraduate curriculum and helped retain and recruit up to at least 10 faculty. So we're very honored, we're very grateful for this award on Trisha's part, and I know she's very humbled and very honored as well. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much.
Congratulations to all four of our award recipients. You are welcome to stay. You do not have to at this moment. And we are all going to party over in the School of Education a little bit to celebrate these awards. So, this is the last Faculty Senate meeting of the academic year and the conclusion of a very busy year, I know. I want to touch on a few topics before we move on to the rest of the agenda. I should note that we have business on the agenda here that was postponed from last time because of the extended discussion on one of the issues last time, which we must finish today. It is the we will have faculty who do not have a tenure home if we do not finish our business. So I'm going to keep you here until we're through this agenda. But I will keep my remarks relatively short. So commencement is coming up this weekend, if you don't know that. The doctoral commencement is Friday night, where our two honorary degree recipients will be Steve Miller and Tom Brock. The commencement for undergraduate and master's degrees is on Saturday in Camp Randall. J.J. Watt is our speaker. And we have a special tribute to retired UW band leader Mike LaCrone at those events as well. Plus, if you're watching, there is an absolutely great video and program insert in these ceremonies commemorating this year being the 150th anniversary of the first women receiving undergraduate degrees from UW. It's been the culmination of a year-long effort sharing inspirational stories from a variety of path-breaking UW women, such as Sydney Scott Cooper, Ada Deer, and Val Phillips. Both of those ceremonies will be live-streamed. If you don't want to come to Camp Randall or to the Kohl Center, you can watch them at home. We were very pleased recently to announce the American Family Data Science Institute at a really fantastic event over at the WID. This institute is a new cross-campus institute reporting into the Vice Chancellor for Research and Graduate Education. The American Family Insurance Company, which has been a long-term partner of UW, is particularly supportive of this group, and obviously there is a naming gift here. They have committed $10 million to endow the institute and another $10 million for research projects. It will be initially located in the McArdle Building, and Brian Yandell, professor of biometry, I don't know which way you say that, statistics and horticulture, will be the starting interim director. It's going to bring together the data science community at UW-Madison. There's been a great group of faculty from across the university who put together the vision for this center and its organizational structure, and I'm very excited about seeing this launch. The whole project came out of a report that faculty, alumni, students wrote last fall encouraging us to expand our vision on data science, computer science, and informatics, and this is the first really public statement about that. Last week, the latest round was announced in terms of clusters cluster hiring in areas of data responsibility, freshwater sustainability, polar change research, and at least two more. This is the third round of clusters that have been chosen. Previous rounds were announced in September and February of last year, and this latest round brings the total number of clusters to 15. I know a number of those faculty have been hired over this year, and some of them have even arrived, and I'm really excited to see these faculty populate our campus. Submissions for a fourth round will be announced soon with a to-be-determined fall deadline. Congratulations to you and any of the members of your departments who were part of the successful proposals. As always, we had far many really great proposals than we had funds, but that's just a reason to apply again next year. Then I want to recognize, this is sort of the time when awards come out, and we've had faculty who've received some wonderful awards, so I just want to recognize them. Youngmi Kim, a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communications, has been named a 2019 Andrew Carnegie Fellow. Professor of Astronomy, Snazana Stanimirovic, has been named a 2019 Guggenheim Fellowship recipient. Robert Fetteplace, who last year won the Kavli Prize, he's a professor of neuroscience, has now been named a 2019 Pisano Fellow for his research into the mechanics of hearing. Chong Boom Ohm in engineering and Donata Ortel, chair of neuroscience, have both been elected as fellows of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. John Valley, a professor of geoscience, and Bill Engels, a professor of genetics, have been selected to the National Academy of Sciences. And professor of political science, Kathy Kramer, and WID director, Joe Handelsman, have been elected to the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. So congratulations to all of those faculty. I love having a list that long. On the state budget front, there's not a lot new to report. The Legislators' Joint Finance Committee, which will shape the budget for both houses of the Senate, is expected to start holding its executive sessions next week, where it will hammer out sort of final deals on all sorts of areas of the budget. They aren't expected to get to the higher education portion of the budget for several more weeks. And in the meantime, I am spending quite a bit of time on the other end of State Street, speaking with people on the Joint Finance Committee and others who are in leadership around the budget. In fact, I visited Green Bay last week to talk to a variety of local audiences there about some of the higher education issues in the state. A few updates on searches. As I hope most of you know, we have decided we were not going to hire in the Vice Chancellor for Research and Graduate Education search this year. We're going to pause that search and reconvene a slightly revised committee and start again in the fall. The provost search is, the last few candidates came through last week, and I'm hoping that in the very near future we'll be able to make an announcement there. I'm still in the midst of putting together information and talking with some people. And then I should note that Jim Henderson is going to be starting as interim provost on June 2nd. That your last June 3rd, which is also Sarah's last day. Jim has a degree in mathematics, a PhD from this university. He has most recently retired as the vice president for academic affairs at the UW system, and people who work with Jim, myself included, think very highly of him, and for filling in the provost job for between 1 to 2 months, I hope it's not going to be longer, he's just going to be an excellent person. Finally, I do have to say thank you and farewell to Provost Sarah Mangelstarf. This is her last Faculty Senate meeting. She'll be leaving after 5 years as provost to become the president of the University of Rochester in New York, and I want to express my appreciation for everything that Sarah has done here. She is, you know, there's no way to say this except she simply left this organization better than when she came on a whole variety of issues, and I will miss her, but I wish her the best as she moves on to a job she fully deserves. And before I close, I have to acknowledge the work of Barb Bowers and Rick Amasino, whose terms on the University Committee are expiring. It has been a pleasure working with you. I particularly want to thank Rick for chairing the UC over this past year, and I want to welcome incoming Chair Terry Warfield, who will start on June 1st, I believe. So thank you for all that you've done. Thank you to all the senators for your work over this year. I hope you all have a very productive summer. And I will turn things over to Rick for his comments.
Thank you, Chancellor. As the Chancellor noted, it's hard to imagine that another academic year in Faculty Senate session is coming to a close. And as the Chancellor noted, this is my last Senate meeting. And I want to thank all of you for a productive year and to highlight a few items that we've accomplished. A major activity for the University Committee this year has involved the return of UW Extension to campus. You will hear more about this later in today's meeting, but as you will recall, the Senate has had a role in this merger. In November, you voted to recognize the tenure of our faculty colleagues, and today their tenure home within the UW-Madison Division of Extension will become a reality. Many Extension faculty and UW faculty have worked tirelessly to make this happen, but I'd particularly like to note the role played by University Committee member Steve Ventura, who you will hear from later on this topic. So thanks, Steve. An area of ongoing effort that you've heard a lot about is the Titling and Total Compensation Project. At our last meeting, after a thoughtful discussion, we passed two resolutions regarding titles with the word professor in them. And the Titling and Total Compensation Project will now work on creating standard job descriptions for those and other titles. The work of the UC covers a range of topics, like the consideration of tenure clock extensions to appointing the faculty component of search committees for positions like provost and the vice chancellor for research and graduate education, to policy discussions, which lead to items you took up over the course of the year, such as our new consensual relations policy, modifications to the academic calendar, resolutions on graduate student support, investment transparency, and the measurement of productivity in higher education. As our campus priorities change and new challenges have to be addressed, our governance documents must change. The University Committee spends quite a bit of time adapting faculty policies and procedures to reflect these changes or to clarify existing policies for Senate approval. One item that you may remember from last month's Senate agenda and will be taken up by the Senate again next year is ensuring that we have a more clearly defined system with proper protections for jointly appointed faculty and their promotion. As you know, many of the issues that the Senate addresses impacts groups other than tenure-track faculty. An example is the graduate student fee issue we discussed last fall. Another is the teaching and research professor titles we discussed at the last meeting that affect academic staff. Groups who are impacted by our decisions have a right to address the Faculty Senate. And it is important that all of us respectfully listen to their views, which help to inform our decisions. Whether it is staff or students, it's important that everyone be treated with respect and professionalism by our Senate. Serving the faculty as a member of the University Committee has been an enriching opportunity in many ways, and one of them was working with people who believe in shared governance as a practice that has served and should continue to serve this institution and the state. Thus, I want to thank all of you who have taken on the role of faculty senators and support the Faculty Senate's work. I also want to thank my colleagues, current and former, on the University Committee. They have worked diligently week after week on behalf of all our faculty in this institution. I'm grateful for their willingness to share their expertise and their networks, to chair ad hoc groups and draft statements, to serve on even more committees, and seek out formal and informal conversations with faculty and staff, colleagues, students, administrators, and the public. So thank you, Barb, Steve, Kirsten, and our next chair, Terry, and Paul, who couldn't be here today. It has been a privilege and a real education to serve with you. I also want to thank Steve Smith and his team at the Office of the Secretary of the Faculty, who willingly take on work whose effectiveness is often measured by how invisible it is. I've only seen the tip of a massive iceberg of work that they do. And finally, I want to thank the two UC members just elected to replace Barb and me for their willingness to serve. Erica Halverson and Eric Sandgren will join the university committee next year. So I look forward to getting my Monday afternoons back, but I also look forward to seeing the progress made in the next Faculty Senate session. Thank you.
Are there questions for Rick or for myself before we move to the rest of the agenda? Seeing no one moving towards the microphone. If you turn to pages 6 and 7 in your book, those are the minutes from the April 1st, 2019 meeting. Are there any additions or corrections?
Hello, Jeff Linderoth. District 38, Industrial and Systems Engineering. The minutes indicate that faculty document 2776 was moved to the question by a Professor Richard Lindroth from Entomology. That is incorrect. I am the individual who moved the question. So I'd like to make a motion that we amend the minutes that to say instead of Professor Lindroth, Professor Jeff Lindroth. I get his mail all the time.
I think we can just do that by consent. I don't think anyone's going to object, and I appreciate your calling that to our attention. Are there any other changes or corrections? If not, with that correction, I will declare the minutes complete. Thank you. You have in your materials on pages 8 to 10 the results of the spring 2019 faculty committee general elections. Are there any questions or comments on that election report that anyone wants to raise to the UC? If not, you can then turn to pages 11 to 16. This is the Caroffa Report, the Committee on Undergraduate Recruitment, Admissions, and Financial Aid. No one from that committee was able to come to present this, but I want to say that some of you who've been around a little longer noted that at times in the past, there was actually quite a bit of tension between Caroffa and some of the things happening in our admissions office. And that really has changed. This committee is right now working very, very closely with admissions. I think admissions would tell you it's been an incredibly helpful and useful committee in the advice that it's giving and the ways in which it's interacting. And I just want to thank everyone on that committee in absentia. If there are any questions or comments on that report, we will communicate that to them and get back to you with an answer. But I'm assuming they're not, since they're not even here to report. They do send their apologies for that. Finally, let me recognize Professor Joe Chemnitz, who will present the annual report of the Archives Committee, which starts on page 17 in your materials. Joe.
Thank you, Chancellor Blank. University Archives was established nearly 70 years ago and serves as the official document repository for UW-Madison, UW System Administration, and UW Extension, including the University Records Management Program. University Archives has an extensive physical collection and a rapidly developing digital collection, including 26,000 linear feet of paper materials, 2.5 million photographic records, and approximately 15,000 films and videos, audio recordings, and oral histories related to our history. In addition to managing the collections, the staff perform numerous outreach activities and proactively facilitate access to the resources. All of this work is currently accomplished by only 6 staff members with the help of about 40 hours per week from iSchool graduate students. Remarkably, the team has very successfully undergone an amazing transition in the last 2 years, replacing 5 of the 6 staff members due to retirements of previous long-serving incumbents. Goals of the archives for the coming year are to foster diversity and inclusion in the collection, to improve visibility and access, and develop partnerships on campus and in the community to enhance the resources. University Archives is more than an accumulation of historical documents. It is really a vibrant resource that informs who and what we are as a university today. I encourage you to read the report appended to the agenda, and especially to visit the website for University Archives. Thank you.
Are there any questions? All right, thank you very much. As background for the next one, I want to remind everyone that if all goes according to plan, all of the employees, staff, faculty, and others in the Division of Extension and Public Media will move into UW-Madison effective July 1st. At an earlier action of the Senate, you voted to grant tenured faculty rights to the people who were tenured faculty in the Division of Extension. And the next question then was going to be, well, how are they going to organize themselves and become part of this larger body of tenured faculty at UW-Madison? And I want to thank Steve Ventura for leading a group of both faculty from here and from Extension in putting together a proposal, which has gone through a variety of approvals, including the UAPC. This is not something that we need a vote on from the Faculty Senate, but it is required that we report back to the Faculty Senate on this issue. So Steve Ventura is going to report on the creation of an academic department to house faculty in cooperative extension.
Thank you. As noted, this body approved or recognized the tenure status of extension colleagues last fall. Faculty reside in a department, and a department resides within a division, or the equivalent of a school or a college, going by various names. After a lot of discussion between administrators and cooperative extension faculty, mediated by this transition work group of faculty from both Extension and UW-Madison, the group proposed or developed a proposal for this merger. This proposal was approved by the Extension University Committee and ratified by their Faculty Senate, and was approved by our University Academic Planning Council on April 18. As the Chancellor noted, this requires notification to this body. There is no vote of approval here. In brief, the proposal recognizes the Division of Extension headed by a dean, and specifies the creation and makeup of an academic planning council. The department within Extension is led by a chair, has an executive committee, so a structure that is more or less familiar to most of you. What is distinct, at least in the near term, is the department is created primarily as a tenure home and mechanism for associated governance. The document submitted to the University Academic Planning Council included an appendix describing a subdivision of the department into academic sections corresponding to the existing departments of Extension and reflecting the domains of their activities. The UAPC approval was made with the understanding that these academic sections mentioned in the documents refer to the faculty only. So the UAPC in the near term, to the extent feasible, Extension will use existing policies and operating procedures that they already have, with a goal of adopting new bylaws and associated procedures by next spring. Spring of 2020. The UAPC also requested then that the Division of Extension leadership provide a report back by October of 2020 on the status of the implementation and evolution of this new structure to the provost and to the UAPC. So there is much work that remains to integrate all of Extension into UW-Madison. Remember, this is dealing with the faculty that are coming across. So I hope you will continue to welcome all of our new Extension colleagues, including the faculty and staff of Cooperative Extension, as well as our new colleagues in the Division of Public Media, and in the Department of Labor Education, which we'll hear about in a minute. So, questions or comments on any of that? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Steve. Let me now recognize Professor and Dean Jeff Russell, who's going to give a closely related report. The Department of Labor Education, like the Division of Cooperative Extension and Public Media, are all transitioning here into UW-Madison, and he's going to report on the incorporation of the Department of Labor Education into the Division of Continuing Studies. Jeff.
Thank you, Chancellor. Nara Cox, Professor Cox, was supposed to give this presentation, but she retired last Tuesday. So I didn't think it was fair to ask the new chair to do this. So that's why I'm here. So the proposal, and this is related to faculty document 2831. The proposal establishes an academic department, as was just mentioned by Steve. The Department of Labor Education is a tenure home in the Division of Continuing Studies. And as it was mentioned, this came out of the actions of the Board of Regents to merge the UW Extension with our campus. Specifically in the Division of Continuing Studies, we have one academic department that has tenure. Sage, our chair, is sitting there in the back. And so when we looked at the opportunities that this department created, given that they're serving non-traditional, they're not offering credit-based courses, and they're serving lifelong learners, it made sense to have this group connect with our group that does that same kind of mission. So we see a lot of alignment between what the Department of Labor Education does with our current academic department, Liberal Arts and Applied Studies. We've done all the legwork, as you can see in the documentation, and engaged the various governance groups. Both the Department of Education, which also goes by the School for Workers, has approved this. Our own academic department has approved it. We've got letters of concurrence where there's related connection, whether it's with letters in science or with the School of Education. So we're quite excited to have our colleagues join us, and so the division looks forward to welcoming them, and we hope that you'll favorably review this proposal and support it. So I can answer questions if there are any.
Any questions on this one? Thank you, Jeff. Steve had mentioned a link, and some of you were looking at that in real time, and it was not working. I'm told it is now working. So try again. Next, we take up a matter that was postponed from the last meeting, a resolution proposing a new title, Professor of Practice, and I am again going to recognize Professor Almazino to make a motion regarding that.
So I move to refer this item to an ad hoc committee composed of representatives from all units on campus that have practitioner teachers of any sort, along with human resource representatives and others, for reasons I will explain if there's a second.
I need a second, okay. Rick, you want to name?
So, as you know, some confusion was created at last meeting when this document about Professor of Practice, which was designed to recommend creation of a new short-term academic staff title, was amended to allow for long-term professors of practice as well. This seeming contradiction led to the eventual postponement of the discussion from our last meeting to this one. After that April Senate meeting, the Secretary of Faculty and I met with the person who moved the changes and discovered something we were previously unaware of. That is, that there are two sets of needs on this campus, which various units are trying to meet. The originally identified need for a mechanism to bring in high-profile non-academics to teach for one or two semesters, and a second need to have a mechanism for hiring long-term staff who have non-academic practitioner credentials but join our instructional staff somewhat permanently. It turns out that in some fields, the professor of practice title is used for the short-term needs, in others for the long-term needs. But it won't work to have one title for two quite different needs. So if you vote to refer this matter to committee, the university committee will create an ad hoc committee to develop a solution that hopefully meets both of these needs. This may involve creating two separate titles, for example, but that's only one possibility. But again, if you vote to refer this matter, an ad hoc committee will have the summer and the early fall to develop a proposal that the Senate can take up next session in October.
All right, the discussion is now on the motion to, table isn't the right term, to refer to committee. Is there any discussion on that proposal? If not, I will take a vote. All those in favor of referring to a committee to sort out these questions indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion carries. Now let me again recognize Professor Amasino, who's going to present a change to the membership appointment method of the CDCC. Again, another motion.
Yes, this is something we hoped to do, so you may have seen it before, but we didn't get to. You have in your materials faculty document 2822, which is a proposed change to the way that certain members of the Campus Diversity and Climate Committee, the CDCC, are chosen. Currently, two alumni and two community members are chosen by the Chancellor's Office, which works closely with the Chief Diversity Officer, the CDCC itself, and the Office of the Secretary of the Faculty, to identify people from those specific groups. It has proven consistently difficult to secure two alumni and two community members specifically. The changes before you would eliminate the need to find alumni and community members per se, and instead change the focus to finding people who represent these specific interest areas, whether or not they themselves fall into this category. The changes would also shift two of the appointments to the Alumni Association. These changes are supported by Chief Diversity Officer Patrick Sims and the Chancellor's Office, and the CDC voted in favor of this as well to make the seats more flexible.
There is no second required for this since it comes from the UC. Is there discussion of the motion to change the document that describes CDCC membership? If not, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. I am amazed to let you know that it's not even 4:30 and we've reached the end of the agenda, and I don't think anyone will be unhappy about that. So have a wonderful summer.